Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Progress. Maybe not fast enough, but it sounds like it's happening. The open procedure for the government. Get into the details. I'm Larry Richard, along with anchorman Paul Rasmussen, and that's where we start with CBS's Michael George.
The Senate voted 60-40 on a bill late last night that would end the longest government shutdown in U.S. history. The measure now heads to the House. The breakthrough came after 8 members of the Democratic caucus sided with Republicans, despite searing criticism from within their own party. Meanwhile, air travelers should expect worsening cancellations and delays this week, even if the shutdown ends, as the airlines are required to increase flight cancellations at 40 airports, up to 6% today, 8% Thursday, and 10% Friday. And now President Trump is threatening air traffic controllers who miss work. CBS's Bradley Blackburn joins us now with the latest on this. These air traffic controllers have been working without pay for more than a month now.
Right, Michael, and today marks their second $0 paycheck. But in a Truth Social post, President Trump ordered controllers to return to work immediately and said he could dock the pay of those who don't. But sick calls have surged as this shutdown drags on, and even with a deal in the Senate, it isn't over yet.
As amended, is passed.
An end to the longest shutdown in U.S. history is in sight.
I think this is a great victory for the American people.
Last night, 8 Democratic caucus members in the U.S. Senate joined Republicans to pass a bill which would fund the government through January 30th. The measure reverses shutdown-related layoffs and guarantees back pay for federal workers. It also incorporates 3 year-long spending bills that include SNAP food assistance funding. Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman on his yes vote to Fox News.
It's the country over the party on this. I can't ever support that kind of tactic to hold our government as a hostage.
But the split has sparked backlash, especially since the deal did not include the Democrats' key demand of an extension of Affordable Care Act tax credits.
Given the fact that, as everybody knows, what the fight was about was health care, it was a loss.
Now some government workers are questioning if the shutdown was even worth it.
What's the point if the subsidies were the issue and that's not a part of the negotiated plan?
Senate GOP leaders say members are discussing the ACA with the promise of a vote sometime next month. But in the House, Speaker Mike Johnson has been noncommittal.
I do not guarantee the outcome of legislation or dates or deadlines or anything.
The House is expected to take up the Senate's bill to reopen the government as soon as Wednesday.
And if this deal passes the House and is signed by the president, it could still take time for federal workers to be paid. After the last shutdown in 2019, it took more than 2 months for air traffic controllers to receive full back pay.
CBS's Bradley Blackburn. So where does that leave us with the SNAP benefits? I guess the Supreme Court ruling, they'll rule on that at some point, because on Friday, Pennsylvania is one of the states that released the SNAP benefits to 2 million Pennsylvanians, and then they walked it back on the Supreme Court ruling later that day. And so I don't think they're going to get the money back from the people who were able to get the benefits.
It doesn't seem likely. Now, the U.S. House has been called back into session, and the vote is scheduled for Wednesday, tomorrow, on this package, which would then go right to the White House. So if the president signs off on that and things start to open up, I would imagine that this legal wrangling over SNAP benefits will all be rendered kind of useless.
Yeah, we're not anticipating this not going through, right?
The House has the votes to pass the package.
Right. That's all people wanted to hear, basically, when you come down to it.
Mm-hmm.
But as you heard in that report, flight operations are not going to be switch that's just flipped and everything goes back to normal
that's
overnight.
That's going to take days, if not weeks. And the controllers are the key part of that.
Well, the president's trying to pressure them by threatening them, and we'll see if that works. Meanwhile, the big news here, speaking of airports, is the new Pittsburgh International Airport, it was announced yesterday, will open a week from today.
In fact, they'll be getting that open as soon as the last flights come in on Monday.
I wonder with, and we're going to talk to Bob Kerlick, who's the communications voice of operations there, the airport, and our next hour, want to ask him, of course. I'm curious if the shutdown played any role in them in any way announcing the new airport, because as Rich Fitzgerald told us, as soon as they do it, there's no going back. In other words, once they start the process, they've got to continue. There will be no going back. So there's no tram. There's no 8 miles of conveyor belts for your luggage. You should get your luggage much quicker. And you're right there at airside. And have you seen some of the videos of, you know, the new entryway? Pretty spectacular. And they've added 6,000 parking spaces. Not garage.
Would it be nice to go to the airport and have your own little garage so when you go away in the winter, you don't have to dig it out of the snow?
Imagine someone laying in bed. Did he say they're putting up 6,000 parking garages?
It's a 6,000 space addition.
Thank you.
In parking. And then 3,300 of that six is a garage.
Thank you. Plus, they'll have all the parking they had before. It's just going to be a little further away. But you'll still take those shuttle buses. Well, actually, these are all good questions. We'll sort through and get the details of the grand opening. Top stories driving the day's news. Weekday afternoons with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. Buying a home is increasingly becoming more of a challenge for young couples. Aaron, you 4 years into your marriage, is this the first home you've owned?
Yes, it is. It is. And in December, we'll celebrate 4 years, but our first year in our home. So we bought it around this time last year.
And obviously, did you get a 30-year mortgage, if you don't mind me asking?
No.
Or did you just pay cash?
We paid cash.
Nice.
And
I'm jealous. Everybody listening is going, that's wonderful.
Well, Vinny, he's really smart in that area. And I think I told you, one of our close friends, it's not even his full-time job, but if he sees a house that he thinks has a lot of potential, he'll flip it. And he did an insane job. So it was really cool in a time where interest rates most certainly were not coming down.
So you found a way to circumnavigate the system.
Yes. Unintentionally, too. It kind of fell in our lap.
How about this? Have you heard the rumor of the 50-year mortgage?
It's not a rumor. It's being reported.
A new survey shows how far people are willing to go to buy a house, and more than 70% of potential homeowners say they don't mind delaying a major life decision until they can afford it. But this includes getting married, having kids, even owning a pet. More than 8 in 10 Americans say that buying a home is still part of the American dream. Of course it is, while more than 60% say it is the American dream. So a 50-year mortgage.
Yeah, I guess the Trump administration is behind this. I don't know the details. What I do know is that if you had another 20 years of paying interest, can you imagine how much interest you would wind up shelling out over 50 years instead of 30? Now, having said that, if this allows people to get into homes at least for a few years and then they can refinance, then that's not such a bad idea after all. And they're also talking about incentives for first-time buyers as well.
Yeah, it's, I mean, this town, as I understand it, in terms of affordability, while it's still a challenge, it's better than many other areas in the country, or most in big cities. And it is economically better to buy than to rent.
And right. I have a friend who, she's you know, still looking for her special someone. But she said, you know, she lives by herself in a beautiful apartment. She's one of those that has the gift of interior design. But she's like, do I buy a house? Because it's starting to look like the better option over renting.
Well, financially, yes.
Right.
Because you're...
It's really
obviously
weird.
Obviously, you're with the way real estate and anticipating the growth in the region that's coming with all of the infrastructure build out we're anticipating. Mm-hmm. And we hope and are very confident that's going to happen.
Right.
Your real estate that you purchase should go up. And so it's an investment. And it's something to sit down with somebody that really knows the ins and outs of the mortgages and which one to choose. Should you go with the upfront, you can get points. You know, it's complicated.
Like Marty said, it's better to buy a new car these days than a used car.
Would you like the numbers on this?
Yeah.
Here's the from a CNBC article, which is primarily pretty negative about this whole idea. But the median sale price for a home from September, just over $415,000 at a interest rate of 6.3% on a 30-year fixed with a 20% down payment, the monthly payment would be about just over $2,000. Now, if you raise up to 50 years, the payment goes down to $1,800, savings of about $230 a month or
thereabouts.
That's
all?
Yeah. So, you know,
that's
the reason why this is a negative piece here that I'm reading. The people are interviewing are saying the savings are minimal.
Yeah, you can if you could be just that much more disciplined.
I mean, if we
save
could get
$200, that's
or if we could get the interest rate down to 5.1% instead of 6.3, look how many more people could buy.
Well, look at when we had those low interest rates, how many people refinanced and are sitting pretty when mortgage interest rates went up well over 7% for a while there.
Wow.
But they're slowly coming down, related somewhat to the Fed rate, but not completely. So anyway, 50-year mortgage. I was thinking about a 100-year mortgage. That's like the guy who said he won the lottery in Europe for $1 million. He said he gets $1 a year for 1 million years. And that's all I have to say about that. This is the Big K Morning Show, and we salute our men and women who have served and their families who have sacrificed on this Veterans Day and appreciate all you have done for all of us. And we'll continue to do that each and every day. But a special opportunity to reach out and thank somebody who has served our country. In the times we're living in, good and bad otherwise, the shutdown appears to be coming to an end. Day 42, the Senate, as you may have heard, did vote yesterday 60-40 to open the government, and it'll go to the House, and then we'll unwind what's going on. But in the meantime, many, many people have been dealing with food insecurity. And joining us from Greensburg, the Director of Planning and Development is Alec Italiano. Boy, that just rolls off the tongue, Alec. Welcome back.
Especially when you say it, Larry. Thank you. Appreciate you guys having me on again.
Buongiorno, in that case.
Yes.
That said, we wanted to go to Westmoreland County, check in with you at Greensburg. I know many people are trying to help in any way they can, and you've got something special going on.
Yeah, we do. This was actually an idea from our city administrator, Kelsey Mellier, and she had this idea, and, you know, she said, we should collect food, you know, for a week-long initiative here in Greensburg, and texted a couple of us at the city and a couple of councilmen, and it came together in, like, literally seconds. The Amy Beagley, the business association, rounded up some businesses, and I think we have over, like, 15 to 20 participating sites, so... the deal is you can park for free in Greensburg the rest of this week, all the way to Friday, at any metered spot. And, you know, in exchange for that free parking, we're doing a food drive. You could drop it off at one of the many participating businesses. We have boxes set up throughout town, and we're going to donate it all to Feeding the Spirit to kind of help with that food insecurity that, like you were just talking about, and, you know, really just give back to our, you know, very local community here.
That's a great idea. I'm glad I thought of it.
Yeah, I know. I can't take credit for this one. But
success has many fathers. No, this is really brilliant and a really tremendous community gesture. So where exactly will they get free parking?
Yeah, so any of the metered spots, so along Main Street, Pennsylvania Avenue, Maple Avenue, Second, Third, Pittsburgh, and Otterman. So, and then some of the lots have some metered spots in it too. So, you know, there's a good bit of metered street parking in Greensburg. So I would say, you know, this is a nice little way to give back, and it's really benefiting a great organization and feeding the spirit. I got to know Deb Thackra over there, the executive director, a few years ago, and they really just do a tremendous job. They do a free hot meal at the Otterbein Methodist Church every Thursday night, and just a nonprofit in every just sense of the word. You know, they volunteer driven, they give back. You know, they're not this multi-million-dollar nonprofit that sometimes, you know, we have in the area. So just a really good group that we're supporting. And, you know, I just heard your announcement that the shutdown's ending here soon. You know, I read that in the paper this morning here as I got up early. But, you know, trying to do everything we can to help out in the meantime.
Well, it's not going to be like flipping a switch, as we discussed. It's going to be a rollout. So people need to, if they're food insecure, they need to be able to find, and we've seen a lot of shelves bare that normally pantries that are full. So this is a great step. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, stop by Greensburg. There's a host of participating businesses. You can go to City Hall. You can go to the library, one of the many shops downtown. It's also not just food. Also, I wanted to mention it's paper products, soap, diapers, dog food, all that kind of stuff. Feeding the spirit kind of does it all. So appreciate you guys having us on and get the word out about this great program that we're doing.
Well, great idea, Alec. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Director of Planning and Development, City of Greensburg, Alec Italiano. Berg at AccuWeather's headquarters. Good morning, Joe.
Hello there. Good morning.
I saw over a foot of snow out to the west in some of the states, Indiana and Michigan, but we're not seeing anything close to that anywhere close to here, are we?
No, in fact, we're kind of in a big donut hole of snow. There has been some in the mountains to our south across portions of West Virginia. They had some down in Tennessee. You mentioned the foot of snow south of Chicago. I think it was near the Kankakee area as a band of snow rotated southwestward and just kind of clipped the Chicago area. They got a couple of inches of snow. There's the lake effect snow to our north and northwest. But here we've just seen some flurries so far, but we've got plenty of cold, and that's what we're going to stay stuck with throughout the day today and into tonight.
Yeah, when we get to this part this early, I think it certainly seeing all the places that got snow, grateful we didn't get dumped on, but at the same time, walking out this morning, boy, it's like January.
Yeah, 24 with a real feel right now of 9. That's a burr.
Now, that said, we have a huge football weekend ahead. We have Friday Night Lights and the playoffs in high school football, Saturday Pitt-Notre Dame at noon, and then Steelers-Bengals Sunday at 1. How's the weekend look?
Friday Night Lights, I don't think there's any problem whatsoever. It might be chilly. Temperature will drop through the 40s as those games get underway after a high probably somewhere around 50, 52. Saturday, I think it's going to be a good day, although clouds are going to be rolling in. But for, that noon kickoff, looks like temperatures will probably be in the high 40s to near 50. Sunday for the Steelers, I can see how it rains on Sunday as temperatures get up closer to 60 degrees. So a mild day, but I think it could be rainy at Acrisure Stadium on Sunday.
As always, appreciate the update, Joe. Thanks.
All right, you're welcome, Larry.
Meteorologist Joe Lundberg.
Well, the Senate passed last night a bill to reopen the government. Pennsylvania's John Fetterman on the 8 Democrats who voted with Republicans.
I think collectively within the caucus, they realized this has to end. And now the kinds of mass chaos now that we've been facing. And, you know, I've been one of the very few that have been voting consistently from the beginning that it's always wrong to shut our government down.
And so I guess best case scenario, things could officially open tomorrow afternoon if the House passes this bill.
And then the president would have to sign off on it. I do not know, Larry, what the procedures are and how long they take. Just like I didn't know yesterday how fast the Senate was going to move on this, and they moved a lot faster than we thought.
Yeah, so hope is that they'll get at least the process started, but again, it's not an overnight switch.
A week from today, the new terminal at Pittsburgh International opens, and Airport Authority spokesperson Bob Kierlik.
It will open overnight. So the last flights of Monday, November 17th, after those are done, the old terminal will close, those roads will be closed, and the roads will be open to the new terminal.
And I can't wait. And next hour, we'll talk more with Bob Kierlik about the details, kind of a what you need to know the next time you go.
You'll be talking with him after our 7:30 news, right?
Yes, sir.
And the Penguins are in Stockholm, Sweden, to play the Predators in two games.
De schwoof to who?
Yeah, it's part of the NHL Global Series, the first game Friday, the second on Sunday.
Yeah, and they're playing... Both games are considered to be Nashville home games. This is a little odd. I found this out yesterday because I was wondering, because Nashville is taking their public address announcer, and I said, wait a minute, why not Ryan Mill, who's been the public address announcer since the late John Barbaro for the Pens, right? Mm-hmm. Does a great job. Why not do a split home and home in Sweden? And he said, no, they're only doing Nashville.
That does seem odd, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't know how you say odd in Swedish, but I just remember that chef from Sesame Street, the schwoof to who. That's all I got from Sweden. Maybe they're going to be in. I mean, they got all week to rest up and practice. They're there now, right?
Yeah.
All right. That's it. This is a new twist. And don't forget, NHL is going to take a break for the Winter Olympics, too. And players will participate.
Well, I'm sure that they're going to get a great reception, the NHL, because as you know, the Swedes, year in and year out, have a pretty good Olympic hockey team.
While they're there, they might as well. Day 42 of the government shutdown, the longest in history. Some good news, as you just heard in our newscast with Paul Rasmussen. I'm Larry Richard, and we go live to New York.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Mark, CBS's Michael Wallace. Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
In the meantime, flights have been delayed by the thousands, and it's anticipated as the mandatory cutbacks for airlines, it can only get worse before it gets better. So where are we this morning?
Oh, it's definitely going to get worse. So up until now, the FAA had canceled 4% of flights at 40 of the busiest airports. Beginning this morning, that increases to 6% of flights at those airports. So the numbers are going to go up. We had 2,100 flights canceled yesterday across the country. This morning, we already have almost 1,200, and that number is sure to rise. And keep in mind, even if you're not going to one of those 40 affected airports, I think 70% of domestic flights are to or from one of those airports. So there's all the connections that get involved and delayed by the original flight delays. So almost everyone is going to be impacted the next few days, even if this new shutdown deal is approved by the House and signed by the president in the next couple of days. It's going to take several days to shake all this out and get the airlines back on track.
And then, of course, Michael, there's the government reopening. That process can't be fast either.
No, that's going to take a while. Obviously, you got to get everybody back to work. You got to get them all up to speed. I mean, you know, there are literally some government offices that no one's been stepped in a month or even longer. So got to dust off those computers and get that all fired up. And so, yeah, things are going to take a while. And especially with the airlines, also keep in mind, you know, as these flights are canceled day after day after day, now you have pilots and crews and planes in cities that they're not supposed to be in right now. They're stuck. They've been stuck there. So just the Herculean task of getting all the planes and crews back to where they're supposed to be once the shutdown is officially over and they hopefully eventually lift all these flight cancellations, it could be weeks before the system is back on track.
And let's add in heavy snows in some states that are causing the natural delays dealing with the weather. I want to share what a pilot, so on a passenger jet, I don't know which airlines, but a passenger, when the pilot came out to talk to the passengers, here's what he had to say yesterday.
Your political persuasion is, but you should really call your senator. Because I'll tell you, this is costing the airlines millions of dollars. And just think of 30 airplanes with one engine running. And it's going to take us at least 90 minutes to take off.
How about that? 90 minutes to take off. They were 30th in line. And he's right. One engine running. The airlines are losing money. And they must have heard him because the senators finally got the vote, Michael, as you know.
Yeah, we had 8 Democrats cross the aisle last night and vote with Republicans to finally hopefully end this. It's up to the House now, of course, where, you know, it should get through. But, you know, this has created a huge split in the Democratic Party as well. A lot of Democrats are very unhappy with those 8 senators who crossed the aisle. They're also very unhappy with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, who essentially let them go across the aisle. Some of them say that he's lost touch with the party, and they're calling for Schumer to be replaced as Minority Leader. So that's another big tentacle to this story to watch in the coming weeks.
Michael, do you know when the House is scheduled to vote on this tomorrow, and how quickly could the president get it after that?
Yeah, last I saw, they're looking at a vote probably sometime around 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. You have to keep in mind, the House has not been in session for weeks now, so they have to all get back to Washington. And, you know, as we were just saying, with all the airline issues, a lot of them might have some trouble getting back right away. So they're hoping everybody is back by tomorrow early afternoon. They can hold the vote in mid or late afternoon. And then it would probably get to the president's desk relatively quickly. We haven't heard too much from President Trump about this deal that the Senate has approved. We assume that he will sign it because, you know, Republicans have gotten pretty much, you know, what they wished for. They didn't want these healthcare tax credit extensions to be in the deal. It is not. However, Republicans did agree to perhaps vote on that at a later date in the coming weeks. But yeah, how long it takes for the House to pass it and then for President Trump to sign it into law remains to be seen. But you would think it would certainly be done by the end of the week.
Michael Wallace in New York with CBS. Michael, thank you.
All right, Larry, take care.
And the irony is, Paul, some of the congressmen and women may be delayed because of their own shutdown.
And can you imagine?
They're trying to get back. And did you see the number of states affected by this early snowstorm that put over a foot of snow in places like Indiana and Michigan, Upper Michigan, and now they're looking at maybe half a foot of snow in parts of New York State.
When I woke up this morning, there were a couple of streamers of lake effect snow coming our way, and one of them was supposed to be right over my place. So when I got up and got outside for the first time, I was expecting to see a little dusting of snow, but nothing there. Nothing sticking, it's so
yeah,
far
same.
At least.
I looked out on my back deck, and there was just a little bit on top of the table, but I mean, just a very, very light dusting, but nothing actually on the deck. Except we're cold. 24 degrees, real feel at 12. So headed out the door, maybe it's good for a lot of kids that have this federal holiday off at school, like Pittsburgh Public. All the schools are off.
You know, thank goodness this is a one-off. We'll be back in the 50s by the weekend.
Do you remember going to the bus stop as a kid? Well, you grew up in Montana, for God's sake.
Yeah, and it was, you know, some mornings when the wind's blowing like it is today, this is very similar to the weather we had back home.
And back then, you were wearing shorts. You didn't care. You were tough
What's
people.
What's it about that here? This is the first place I've been where you can bump into somebody
and they're wearing
who's outdoors
shorts.
In shorts when it's, you know, at freezing or even below that.
Well, there's just some guys that it's, I don't know, they just refuse to wear pants. It's really bad when they're not wearing shorts either. Big K Morning Show, and every Tuesday at this time, we feature another medical professional brought to you by Independence Health System Expert Care here. And I always say you're a half person from everybody. And our surgeon is Dr. Tom Mazzanegro. We call him Tommy, and I've known him and his wife Debbie and family since our kids were little. And full disclosure, he did my meniscus. It's been a few semesters, but from Butler Memorial Hospital and Tri Rivers, Dr. Mazzanegro. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. As always, thanks for having me, and thanks for being so kind.
And you can see Dr. Mazzanegro on our live stream at kdkradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. And we're also on a KDK Radio YouTube. We're everywhere, Tom, so people can see and hear you. That's the technology and the world we live in today.
Well, that's amazing, and thank you.
And that said, I want to congratulate you and the team, Butler Memorial Hospital, receiving a 5-star rating for outpatient total knee replacement by Health Grades. And that's you and your team. You must be very proud.
I am. And I think that you said it perfectly. It's really a team effort, Larry. It starts in the office and the hospital with the team members. We have an amazing team at Tri Rivers that's been together for years, an amazing team at Butler Hospital, up at part of Independence Health for some of my members over 20 years. And we've been working on this consistently throughout that time.
And that said, Tom, what does that mean when people are making a choice in healthcare? Obviously, they want the best of the best. And with a 5-star rating, that puts you at the top.
That's what we really work for every day. And again, it's a team effort. The family, including the patient and either their friends or family, as you know, my team in the office and our team at the hospital. And it's baby steps, really. It's each step is critical. And you want, for example, if I was taking care of your uncle, you want him to be optimized, and you don't want him to have any surgery till he's perfect. And then when he's perfect and he's having a bad knee, then we can fix him and get him back.
There are a lot of questions, as you know, Doc. You get them everywhere you go once they find out you're an orthopedic surgeon. When do you know? I know a lot of people have knee and hip pain in particular. When do you know that, hey, I should see my doc? And then at what point is it determined they would need surgery?
It's a great question, obviously. So one, on your own at home, worsening knee or hip pain, it starts to affect your gait, so you start to limp. Maybe you can't walk as far as you could. Maybe uneven ground, like if you like to play with the grandkids or walk your dog or hunt or golf, those kind of things. You should self-treat, try to get in shape, lose a little weight if you need to. You can try soft brace. If your stomach and your medical allows, you can try a Tylenol or Motrin, right? Routine stuff. But if it keeps negatively impacting you and you're no better, that's when I think it's reasonable to say, hey, should I see my doc? And you can see your PCP or go straight to me or one of the team members. But that's how I look at that.
And then what have been the technological leaps when it comes to replacing joints like a hip? We hear about hip replacement surgery. So let's start first with averages. If you're replacing a knee, what is the average recovery time? Understanding it varies greatly with individuals.
Sure. I think the best way to look at it is in months. And I tell people it's a 3 to 4 month process. So month one, you're doing healing and early rehab. Month two, you're rehabilitating and most of the major healing is occurring. And then you're in the remodeling phase, really. And then month three and four is when we get you back to full activities. And I tell the truth. Some people are blazingly fast, 8 weeks or 2 months, great. And some people, need month three to rehab to feel great at month four. And I tell them, if you're 76 and it's been bugging you for 10 years and we're talking weeks, don't worry about whether you're week 8 or 10. You're going to do great.
And then what about hips too? Does that apply? I know a little more challenging.
It's interesting. Hips are actually a little easier on the patients in general from the point of view of pain and rehab, and a little easier from functionality. I think that has to do with if you grab your own hips and butt and think of Babe Ruth, you got a lot of meat and muscle there, and it's a ball and socket deep in there, and people tend to do well. But I still think, 6 to 12 weeks or, 2 to 4 months is proper.
And
now I would like to say this. You're up and walking the day of surgery, including stairs at Butler. So when I say you're healing and remodeling, it's part of the process.
Yeah, and outpatient total knee replacement is relatively new or not?
It is relatively new. It's been making strides over the last 10 and 20 years, but it was baby steps. But it really took leaps and bounds, I'd say, over the last 5 to 10 years. We had some advances with a actually not expensive and not fancy medicine from trauma that really revolutionized blood management and helped with pain and inflammation. And that combined with what we call multimodal anesthesia, which is just a fancy way of saying we trick your brain into not knowing we fixed your hip or knee so you can rehab, right?
I like that.
That with rehab, advanced rehab techniques and surgical techniques and some improvements in the products, it's really all been baby steps to now at times we have more than 50% of people going home the same day of surgery.
And you've also worked with a lot of athletes who have had knee injuries, hip injuries, and that's a process that when young people have to have work done, obviously you would assume they recover a little quicker than those who are a lot older.
Absolutely. You know, I tell young people they can heal a sprain, a strain, 3 to 6 weeks. Regular age people, 6 to 8 weeks, and maybe me and you more in the 8 to 10 range these days.
Thank you very much for that. And before you go, anything you're driving along up to Butler and you're thinking, boy, the next time I want to make sure people know this about what you do.
Well, one, I love it. I just got back from that mission trip, and that's probably my most rewarding week of the year because you get to work for free, and it reminds you why you do it because you're helping people and you're giving your time and energy, but you're not getting compensated, which is just amazing. But I think, one, I tell a lot of the young people, medicine's a really rewarding job. It can be hard, the job, but the vocation's amazing. And if I were to leave you with two thoughts, I'll give you two. One, I bring my friends and family to Butler, as you know. I've had my hands fixed there for my care. And two, shout out to my Uncle Tony Catalano on Long Island, 105 years old, World War II veteran. He had a drive-by parade this weekend.
That's incredible. Well, you have a beautiful family, and I know you're the top dog, so appreciate the time this morning before you get at it. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Tell the team I said hi and thanks, as always.
Dr. Tom Mazzanegro, award winner, Butler Memorial, 5-star rating for outpatient total knee replacement by Health Grades. That's a big deal, and Tom is as good as it gets. How about his uncle, Aaron? 105.
Yeah, that's
veteran.
Legendary.
That's extraordinary. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, by the way, brought to you by Independence Health System Expert Care here. Let's check in with Ellen Gamble.
All right. Thanks, gang. And as we look out over the area roads, certainly lighter than normal for this Veterans Day morning commute. But we do have backups in a couple of spots. Parkway West, of course, is stacking as usual at the top of Green Tree Hill heading into the Fort Pitt tunnels. Just traffic light delays for you behind the Liberty tunnels on 51 and West Liberty Avenue, Route 19. You'll line up on the Parkway East at Wilkinsburg. 28 is a great ride, as is the Parkway North, I-279. Do want to remind you, though, that weather permitting, crews will continue to do some work on ramps to and from Route 28 in the city of Pittsburgh. This was kicking off yesterday, could continue today with crews working and forcing some lane restrictions for you on southbound 28 at Anderson Street and the 28 off-ramp to I-279 East Ohio Street. That's exit 1B. They could be out there 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., so watch for that. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 735. I'm Ellen Gamble on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
Oh, it's party time. A week from today, Pittsburgh International Airport 2.0. And joining us, Bob Kurlick, Director of Public Affairs at the Allegheny County Airport Authority, and working on this for a long time. Robert, good morning.
Larry, good morning to you.
You got to be feeling pretty good at this point.
Yes, this is really more than a decade of planning, preparation, and work for Pittsburgh International Airport and 4 years of construction. So we are really excited for next Tuesday. And I am personally really excited for next week to be done because this is something that we've been working on for a long time.
Absolutely. So let's go through kind of the process that will take place on Tuesday. This is a massive effort, and once you start this process, there's no turning back, right?
That's right. So the way that will work, we'll do the switchover overnight. So the last day of the old terminal will be Monday, November 17th. And after the last arrivals that evening, late at night, then we will close off the old terminal and have the new roads open for the first 5 a.m. flights out on Tuesday, November 18th.
As you know, Bob, we're creatures of habit, especially in Pittsburgh. And so there'll be a lot of questions about where do I go.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
First, start with, you've added 6,000 additional parking spaces, correct?
That's right. So the new parking lots that we have is, of course, the new parking garage, which is right up against the new terminal. So just like the old garage, it's connected to the new terminal. There's 3,300 spaces in there, three times the amount of covered parking that we have, because as many business travelers know, that garage that we have now fills up many times during the week. We've added a new surface parking lot called the terminal lot, which is right up against the new terminal. And that lot is a walkable lot right up against the new terminal. And for folks that were used to parking in the old long-term lot, extended lot, and economy lot, those three lots will be combined into one new lot called the shuttle lot. And that will be shuttle service to the new terminal.
You know, I used to have a cheat code where I would park behind the Hyatt hotel there, and so I could get indoors as quick as possible. But that whole corridor will not be available or necessary that people currently use to get to the land side.
That's right, the moving walkway you're talking about, right?
Correct. So,
the moving walkway, you won't be able to access the new terminal through the moving walkway. Now, for folks, the moving walkway will be open to get to the Hyatt Hotel. So that will remain, at least for now. So if you are parking there in that spot where you used to park there, Larry, in the long-term parking, that becomes part of the new shuttle lot. So we've bought brand new shuttles that are going to be, and more of them, right? And so the shuttle service is going to have real-time information in the shuttles. We built new shelters, which have heating elements in them.
Nice.
And we'll have real-time information to let you know when the next shuttle is coming, how many minutes, and how long it's going to take you to get to the terminal. So we estimate about 10-minute ride, including the stops, once you get on that shuttle. So for folks that are in there, we don't want people to be confused. You will be able to get in that moving walkway up to the Hyatt Hotel, but after that, it will be blocked off.
And that said, Bob, once you get to the airside, which you're going now directly, you're probably on average shaving, 20 minutes maybe?
Yeah, we estimate it cuts your time from curb to gate in half. And that's really because you're getting rid of that half-mile journey, right, with the train. And once you get inside the terminal, it's very, very easy for folks once they get in there. The ticketing level is, of course, all on one level. The security is on the same level, so there's no transversing up between up and down levels. That once you get your ticket, you go through the security checkpoint, which is much larger than the security checkpoint today. We have 12 lanes at the main checkpoint compared to the 7 lanes that we have today. It's one consolidated checkpoint. No longer do you have to worry about the alternate checkpoint. Is it open? Where is it at? Right. And it allows TSA to be much more efficient with their staff deployment, which in today's day and age is very important. On the baggage side, on the arrivals, we estimate it's going to be about, you'll get your bags twice as fast as you did before. And that's because we've eliminated 8 miles of bag belt to get to with the baggage delivery system. So there's going to be a lot of amenities for travelers that they're going to notice right away with the new terminal. It's going to be a lot better for Pittsburgh travelers coming to and from Pittsburgh.
And you were gracious enough to take me on a tour, and this has been months now, so I can't wait to see the finished product. But one of the major notes in my mind was everybody who's going out of town is flowing one way, and everybody returning is flowing on the lower level. So you have, I would imagine, that there's just a much more streamlined operation in general.
Yeah, that's right. And so what you're referencing is everybody that's on the departures level is all heading toward the security checkpoint. And it goes toward that concept of intuitive wayfinding. Of course, we have plenty of signage there as well to guide folks on where they need to go. But it's very intuitive once you get in that building to figure out where you need to go. Everybody on departures is flowing toward the security checkpoint. Everybody on arrivals is flowing toward baggage claim. Now, you can get between the levels if you have to, but there's no need to be able to do that. You don't have the cross traffic like you have today of folks going in both directions and bumping into each other. It's a much smoother experience for people. In the center core, once you get through the checkpoint, there's a very short terminal bridge, and then you go through a very short tunnel, which mimics the four-pit tunnel experience, and you walk right into the renovated center core, and that is already open for folks. When you come into that center core, they did a beautiful job. It's really nice. There's a new concession right in there, and no longer will you need the train.
Well, I can't wait. I'm going to be there Tuesday, and I'll talk to you about details on that because I was there when they opened the original airport broadcasting for KDKA.
I do know that, right? In the old rainbow machine.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man, I'm excited about this. I'm sure you are. The team is excited. And 1 week from today, and it looks like timing is good. Looks like the shutdown is going to end, and hopefully they'll get the air traffic back to normal by the beginning of next week. So all the best, and certainly appreciate your time, and you guys should all be very excited and proud of this.
We are really excited. Thank you for coming. It's the region's new front door, and it's a fantastic experience for people coming to and from Pittsburgh. I can't wait for the region to really use it on a daily basis.
Just in time for the holiday travel season, as you well know. Bravo, Bob. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Bob Gerlich, Director of Public Affairs, Allegheny County Airport Authority, including, of course, Pittsburgh International 2.0.
The government. Pennsylvania's John Fetterman on those eight Democrats who voted with Republicans.
I think collectively within the caucus, they realized this has to end. And now the kinds of mass chaos now that we've been facing. And, you know, I've been one of the very few that have been voting consistently from the beginning that it's always wrong to shut our government down.
And apparently, finally, we've seen some movement. And this should be the process, the end of it. In the next few days.
Right. The House scheduled to vote on Wednesday afternoon, tomorrow afternoon around 4. And if it is approved, and it's likely, then it goes to the president. A week from today, the new terminal at Pittsburgh International is opening, as we just heard from Airport Authority spokesman Bob Gerlich.
It will open overnight. So the last flights of Monday, November 17th, after those are done, the old terminal will close. Those roads will be closed, and the roads will be open to the new terminal.
And yeah, I could tell the excitement in Bob's voice.
So I know what you'll be doing next Tuesday.
Yes, I will. I'll be getting pastries from the new concession stands at the airport.
You know, that's pretty hard to resist. The smell of Cinnabon when you're ready to get on a plane. Yes. No kidding, right?
For me, Auntie Anne's pretzels.
Oh, sure.
You walk by. Let's get some.
Hey, the Penguins are in Stockholm, Sweden, Larry. They're playing the Predators, a couple of games as part of the NHL Global Series.
The Schwoof to who? So they're in Sweden for this entire week, and one of the players who's Swedish for the Penguins is actually injured, but he's looking forward. He grew up 15 minutes from the rink where they'll play, and you know what the times are for playing?
I know they play Friday and Sunday, but I don't know when.
Yeah, when I saw, and this you'll love this, 2 p.m. Friday afternoon, I'm like, why are the Penguins playing at 2 o'clock on a Friday? Then I realize, oh, they're in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday morning at 9 a.m.
Oh, these are both perfect times for me.
Yeah, so
very rarely do I get to watch a Penguins game live on television. This is one of them.
Yeah, and then 9 a.m. Sunday, and then you go straight to church and then go to the Steeler game.
There you have it.
Today, we salute the men and women who've served our country and their families who also have sacrificed. And I want to introduce you to someone who inspires me every day. His name is Jason Wiley. Jason, good morning and thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you, Larry. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been too long since we've chatted.
We first met, it's about the Warrior Foundation, simply at a golf outing. And not knowing you then and having the story that you have shared has been more than inspirational for just me, so many people. You served in as a medic, correct, at one point?
I did. I was a medic for 16 years. I saw service in Iraq and Afghanistan and also spent a year in Korea.
And you returned in 2005, so 20 years ago from Iraq.
Yeah.
But you were feeling it, PTSD.
Yeah. From the time I got back, I had started PTSD and you know, had all the symptoms and wasn't sleeping. And I hit it for probably close to 18 years of my life because, you know, the stigma and everything else that was going on. And I just one day had enough and decided it was time to change. And here we are.
And this is a couple of years ago where you really found a passion for running. And I mean, I'm talking Forrest Gump level running for you.
Yeah, it really is. I actually just ran a 50K on Saturday, 6 hours and 17 minutes. So I paid it forward. It was another Veterans Foundation that put on a trail fest, and we went out and pounded some miles.
And this is on top of dealing with your own physical issues. You battled, and I watched you do this, and I couldn't believe how you were able to persevere and move forward.
Yeah, it's I have lung disease as well from the toxic exposure, and I'm on chemo. So it's either sit around and feel sorry for myself or get out and make the world better. And that's my goal here, is to inspire the world. Just let everybody know that from the bottom of the barrel, you can still get out and you can make yourself better 1% every day and change your life around.
Jason, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Worthington, PA, which is, I went to Kittanning High School. It's about an hour from Pittsburgh.
I'm very familiar with Kittanning in Armstrong County.
Yeah.
And what changed for you? Just a couple of, how did you get sober? How did you get right? How did you become this inspirational person that so many people look up to?
It honestly started in the hospital bed whenever they had to do a lung biopsy to figure out exactly what was going on with my lungs. And I was laying there with a chest tube in my chest and I kind of looked around in a bunch of pain and thought, you know, this isn't the way that it should be. And my kids shouldn't see me like this. So I walked out of the hospital and I think my first run was about 0.6 miles. And here we are 2.5 years later.
And you have paid it forward, as you mentioned, helping a fellow veteran with the most recent run. But I want you to share how Kurt may have helped save your life.
Yeah, so Kurt, for those that don't know me, is my service dog through Tales of Valor, which is just a wonderful place. They posted something one time on social media, and it was shared. It was a dog about Holland, and I served with a kid named Holland, and they named the dog after him. He was killed in Afghanistan. So I reached out, and it was kind of a whirlwind, and I was paired with Kurt, and Kurt has well changed my life. It's I'm able to go out in public. I used to not be able to spend 10 minutes out there, and now I can go out for a full day and not have to worry about it. So just life-changing stuff.
So when I first met you, you were still hiding and dealing with your issues, correct?
Oh, absolutely, big time. I think we first met in maybe 18 or 19.
Yes, sir. And
yeah.
But somehow we made a connection, and somehow through this process I followed your story, and that's why I say you're an inspiration, because what you have done has truly been remarkable. What do you attribute it to?
You know, I turned to my faith. I slowly turned to my faith as the whole thing started to process, and God's just placed some things in my life that just you can't deny, and it's just not, you know, you think about fate, but it's just you just can't say it's fate whenever you start putting these good people in your life and things start to happen for you because you're working on yourself and trying to make yourself the best person you can. So it's been wonderful.
When I say we salute the men and women of service, we also include the family members who have sacrificed. And your wife's been through a lot, and she stuck with you, too.
Yeah, she's the best. She's the glue that holds the family together. And now she's not only my wife, she's my crew chief and keeps me organized on these long runs.
And before you got your service dog, Kurt, you had trouble going out into public in the crowds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we would go to the mall and I wouldn't last 10 minutes, 15 minutes. We'd have to go home and the kids would be upset. And you know, so, and they didn't totally get it. They don't totally understand it. And now that I have Kurt, it's not something we have to worry about. We can just go out and just have a good time and not worry about all the other things that are going through my head.
What is it that bond with a dog like Kurt that allows you to be the man you want to be?
It's just so hard to explain, Larry. I think it's almost like you have your best friend with you all the time. And, you know, he kind of distracts me from my own head. You know, he's there and I can just love on him and he's just always happy. And, you know, it's just so hard to explain.
Trails of Valor, Paws of Honor. What do you want to say to your fellow veterans today?
I just want to thank them for their service and let them know that they're not alone. Reach out to a veteran, reach out to a friend. We're all struggling. Even on my best days, there's still days that I struggle. And it's just that you gotta be 1% better every day, work on yourself. And, sometimes you gotta be selfish and, that's what it is. But thank you so much for your service. Thank you for your willingness to fight for this country. And we love each and every one of you.
And that said, you continue to inspire me with your courage and what you've done. Jason, thank you. If you don't mind, I want to share on our social media the story of Trails of Valor with you and your service dog, Kurt.
Yeah, Tales of Valor. Yeah, absolutely you can. Yep.
Tales of Valor. Jason Wiley, Staff Sergeant, Medic, United States Army. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate you so much.
To Myra Rush in studio from our newsroom. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
What's trending?
It's Veterans Day.
It is.
Happy Veterans Day. My dad was a veteran. Chris Moore, my second pop's a veteran. So shout
veteran,
out. Yes, absolutely. Chris.
I remember the heart-wrenching journey he took back to Vietnam, which they documented on WQED.
Yes.
Very powerful.
It was powerful, yeah. Very. I mean, he has some war stories for sure. So.
Which branch did your father serve?
Army.
Yeah, mine too.
Mm-hmm.
He served at the end of World War II, lied about his age to get in, and ended up guarding Japanese prisoners in the Philippines.
Oh, wow.
At age 17.
Wow. You couldn't get these kids to even step foot in many branches of the government. Some schools don't even have it anymore. ROTC was kind of a big thing in Penn Hills. I believe they still have it. I'm not quite sure. Actually, they do. A girlfriend of mine, her daughter's going into the Air Force. They pushed that back then. You know, a lot of kids weren't interested in going to four-year colleges and universities. And kids were like, hey, let's do it. And which I think it's great. Teaches discipline and things that some of our kids are lacking today.
Sometimes that may be the focus they need to get a really good start.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with a little discipline. Some people have it, some people don't. So, you know, it's Veterans Day. Let's go. What's open? What's closed?
Well, it's a federal holiday, so.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're not getting your mail, which means you won't get the bills. But if you were waiting for something good, that's not coming.
Yes. Restaurants that are offering free meals and beverages, Sheetz. The Altoona-based chain is offering a free meal and car wash to all veterans and active duty military personnel.
Yeah, you can get a sub and a drink at a car wash.
Oh, how about that? That's nice. Primanti Brothers Restaurant and Bar, active and retired military can get an all-famous sandwich with...
Oh, that's good.
A Primanti. Primanti Brothers sandwich, which is good. Applebee's, Bob Evans Farmhouse and Kitchen, Chili's Grill and Bar, Golden Corral, Outback Steakhouse, of course, McDonald's, IHOP, and Starbucks. Other restaurants offering free items include Denny's, Red Robin, Cracker Barrel, Buffalo Wild Wings, Chipotle, Little Caesars, and more.
Well, we appreciate all the businesses that are recognizing veterans with those premium opportunities.
I think that that's needed. It's a way to thank our veterans, right? They don't get enough. I mean, you do a tremendous job with your programs with veterans, and I can't say enough about really and truly what you do. I mean, there's a connection there. And to see that come to fruition and happen, Wounded Warriors, and it's amazing.
I just think when you think about it, at any given time, just about 1% of the population is in active service. Mm-hmm. And there are about 6% overall over the years who have served in some way, shape, or form. And I just think when they served, no matter what they did, what branch, what assignment, they were doing that for the government and for fighting for each other. Mm-hmm. And the rest of us owe them a great debt of gratitude.
Right.
And I don't question veterans. I don't. I let them, if they want to share something, I don't ask questions.
Isn't it amazing to see when you're in the military, gender doesn't matter, race doesn't matter. It's like you guys are in there together. Like you have to be, you have to have my back and I clearly have to have yours. I mean, those things in the military, it's like such a strong sisterhood and a brotherhood. And then it's amazing to see once you're back home how things, you know, are different.
Chris Moore really details that very well. For the Vietnam veterans, they were mostly drafted. Mm-hmm. You know, we have had the draft in place since after the Vietnam War. So a lot of those, you know, the wealthier people that did got their deferments and didn't go, for a lot of cases, it was, you know, people put in situations where maybe they didn't grow up with somebody that looked like them,
yeah,
but now they have
absolutely
to fight with them
yeah
and survive with them. Mm-hmm. And I've been told that the bond of that
yeah
never leaves you. Unfortunately, when a lot of them came back, particularly from Vietnam, they didn't get the welcome home, even though they were literally yanked out of society to serve.
Right.
So,
right.
And every veteran's story is different.
Right.
And a lot of people obviously enlisted. A lot of people after 9/11 wanted to do something and did.
Right.
And that's been now almost a quarter of a century since that war started.
You know who was the most pristine military guy ever here?
Bob Copper.
Absolutely.
And you know what?
Absolutely.
The late anchorman, Bob Copper, was a United States Marine.
He was sharper than any drawer in your, any knife in your drawer.
We
seriously
used to joke, you can find Bob Copper's desk because it's the only one with sandbags around it. Remember, he had a coffee cup with a picture of the flag raising at Iwo Jima.
Oh, yeah. And he
Iwo Jima.
He would always say it because people were like, oh, you were a Marine. He's like, never. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
And I got to share something. You'll appreciate. This came from Chris LaSala, who's the director of football operations for the Pitt Panthers. And I got to find it because it's that important to share, because yesterday was the 250th anniversary of the founding of the United States Marines, right?
Mm, okay.
And he sent me this quote from Ronald Reagan, of all people.
Okay.
Some people spend an entire lifetime wondering if they've made a difference. The Marines don't have that problem.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Okay. Sir, yes, sir.
In honor of Bob Coppler.
If I were in the military, what branch would you, do you think I would go into? I thought about it.
You'd be a high flyer. Air Force.
Absolutely.
Did I guess right?
Yes, absolutely.
Outstanding.
Alrighty.
Thank you, T.
Bye. Happy Veterans Day.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with one of our hometown heroes, Dave Gray. Coach, good morning.
Hey, Larry.
Sometimes
How are you, Larry?
You meet people in your life and you wonder, first of all, you never age. And I met you many, many moons ago, and you are still coaching kids and actually helping adults too. And I understand you're going to be speaking to our Pittsburgh Odyssey team here with five radio stations. So congratulations, by the way, on your new book, Next Point Wins, a Playbook for Future Champions.
I certainly appreciate that, Larry. And it's been a journey. This new book that I have, that I've written, is it's really a lifetime of lessons and valuable experience that I've had since being a child. I recently started talking about my own childhood, where I grew up in foster homes. So for the first 8 years of my life, I was moved from family to family, school to school. And all growing up, and even as a young adult, you know, I was struggling to find my identity, to figure out what my purpose was. And so that's my mission here with this book, is to tell these kids and these young people, these middle schoolers and high schoolers, that, hey, I see you, and you matter. And so I've compiled a book of valuable lessons. It's like a playbook. So it's through the lens of me as a coach, and who's ever reading it, you're my player. And together we're going to formulate a plan to really define who we are, find our identity, and really be the best versions of ourselves. And so that's what this book is. And I'm so excited, and thank you for allowing me to talk about it.
As the founder of CDG Sports Events, when I first met you, I had you working with my young son, and then eventually my daughters, like so many other parents have, to increase their sports acumen and excitement. And truly, when I met you, I thought, wow, 1988 graduate of North Allegheny High School. There's always a Pittsburgh connection with that, with the Gretsch family. And Dave, over the years, and I'm not just saying this, your enthusiasm and positivity never has wavered that I've ever seen. And I joke to you, you never age on top of that. But originally, I had no idea the challenges you had as a young person. And what was it that helped you overcome feeling lost?
You know, really, it was the coaches and the teachers and the people in my life that, as few as there were, they took my hand and they wouldn't let me fail. And so there's certain people, like you mentioned, the Gretsch family, Chris Gretsch, my best friend, that, you know, unfortunately, unexpectedly passed away a year after we started our business in 1996. The time I spent with him and learned from him, it was so impactful to me. And so it's those people that you meet in your life that I believe God places in your life to change you in a way that you couldn't do yourself. And so, and that's what this book does. And that's what I aim to do. Is I have a saying when I do assemblies and team buildings, it's make someone's eyes shine. And you want to let people know that, hey, I see you, you matter. And so that's what people did in my life. And I remember those people, and that's who I want to be each and every day to every single person I engage with. I want to make their eyes shine, let them know that they matter. And it's a ripple effect, Larry. Once you do that, they'll be confident, and they'll make someone else's shine and eyes shine. And really, that's the key.
We're with Dave Gray, Coach Dave Gray. His new book is out and available, Next Point Wins, a Playbook for Future Champions. I'm curious, I know you also obviously love sports yourself, but in particular, you have this Puerto Rican connection and with Roberto Clemente. How did that happen?
Yes. My mother, Gladys Gray, was born and raised in Puerto Rico. And at the age of 17, she made the bold, courageous decision to move to Pittsburgh to, help her family back in Puerto Rico live a better life. So she wanted to come over to the States and work and send back money. So in the 50s, she flew to Puerto Rico. And wouldn't you know it, Puerto Rico has that connection, just like Pittsburgh does with each other. And the first person she met was Roberto Clemente. And so they made a connection. They became very close friends. And so that's how my family has that connection. And my mother still tells me to this day, you know, just great stories about his character and who he was off of the field. And that helps motivate and inspire me to carry on that legacy. So, family friend and someone that I look up to as a role model.
Somebody calls you the Mr. Rogers of U Sports. I can see that, actually having the chance to meet Mr. Rogers. Positivity. What's your message going to be to the Odyssey team here, who are a little older than some of the younger people that you work with daily?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. It's going to be a surprise, but I guess I'll let them know now. But it's, you know, make character your most important piece of equipment. No matter what you do in sports or in business, you have equipment that you use or wear to help you be the best person that you can be. But the number one piece of equipment, your most valuable attribute, is your character. And so once we build our character and define who we are and where we are headed and how we can help one another, we are going to be champions. And so I can't wait to speak to your group there at Odyssey.
That's why you're one of our hometown champions, Dave, and a great friend. Thank you, and good luck with the book, too.
Thank you. Can I just mention where you can pre-order a book right now? And if you do, I will sign the book. And you can go to nextpointwinsbook.com. That's nextpointwinsbook.com. And I'll also be holding a book signing event at D1 Training in Cranberry on December 20th. And also Sorgo Orchards in December sometime. So if you go to that website, you can find out the information.
Next,
so thank you so much,
wins.
Larry.
Oh, Dave, you're the best, man. Congrats.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Coach Dave Gray, I'm fired up this whole hour. Talk to inspirational people in this town. You don't have to go far to find great people.
It passed last night, a bill to reopen the government. Pennsylvania's John Fetterman was one of the 8 Democrats who voted with Republicans. Why did they do it?
I think collectively within the caucus, they realized this has to end. And now the kinds of mass chaos now that we've been facing. And, you know, I've been one of the very few that have been voting consistently from the beginning that it's always wrong to shut our government down.
He has, and was joined, obviously, by additional senators. So the total was, 60?
Right on 60 votes, what they need to get it done. Now, the House has a vote scheduled on this tomorrow afternoon at 4, and if it is passed, and that is expected to happen, the president will have the bill to sign post-haste. A week from today, that new terminal at Pittsburgh International is opening. Airport Authority spokesman Bob Kerlick talked with Larry about that a little bit earlier this morning.
It will open overnight. So the last flights of Monday, November 17th, after those are done, the old terminal will close. Those roads will be closed and the roads will be open to the new terminal.
It's exciting on many levels. Even if you're not flying anytime real soon, you know what's going to happen. People in Pittsburgh, we're slow to accept change. Where am I going at? There's 6,000 additional parking spaces. 3 of those thousands are indoors at a new garage right up against it.
And a dozen TSA checkpoints to go through. It's going to make it a lot faster to get through that. And, you know, my hope is, Larry, is that by the time we get to Thanksgiving, if the shutdown does end, hopefully they can get the air traffic controllers back to work, because we've got an anticipated 31 million people traveling by air on Thanksgiving. That is a lot of people, probably a record.
Hopefully, yeah, it seems like it's going to time out well.
And the Penguins are in Stockholm in Sweden. They're playing the Predators a couple of games for the Global Series in the NHL.
Yeah, what are they going to do all week? Like, they're there now.
I'll bet they're having a good time outside of practicing. I mean, Stockholm. I'd love to be in Stockholm in the fall.
I've never been to Sweden.
I'd like to do Scandinavia. I'd like to get to Denmark, Norway as well, maybe Finland.
So, Friday's game is at 2 p.m., Sunday's game, 9 a.m.
Yay! Guess what I get to watch?
It's a hockey day in Sweden. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen. We salute our men and women who have served us and their families who have also sacrificed on our behalf on this Veterans Day. Albeit the coldest day we've had in a while, Paul. What are we, real field temp still in the low teens?
Yeah, 15 right now, Larry.
Yikes. I wasn't prepared for that last night when I stepped out. I'm like, man, this has been a major temperature drop.
You know, it's in my opinion, it's a weather foul when I have to put on a real winter coat before Thanksgiving.
Understood. All right, when's the last time you heard of a new school opening around here?
Not often.
Crickets. And Lauren Martin is with us, the superintendent of Catholic schools in the region. Lauren, welcome to KDK Radio.
Thanks for having me on.
So this is pretty exciting because you've got a new school opening on the north side. So how did this come about? Where is it? Tell us everything we need to know, please.
Oh, boy. How much time do I have? definitely very exciting. There's a newer foundation in the area called the Miraculous Metal Foundation, and one of their missions is to open Catholic schools.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Diocese of Pittsburgh area, and so it's really exciting that we have, this will be the second school that they're opening. The first one, South Hills Catholic Academy in the South Hills of Pittsburgh. And then they wanted to go north, and they found a place on the north side, and we get the opportunity to open a new school there.
Where will it be, Lauren?
So it's on the site of the current Northside Catholic Assumption Academy School, which is in the old St. Cyril's building for the people that go back in the Diocese of Pittsburgh and call it the old name, because we do that sometimes, by the St. Cyril's Church, right? It used to be a parish school building. They consolidated into more of a regionalized school. That's where Northside Catholic Assumption Academy came from. And then to make sure that that space is open and continues well into the future, changing operational structure a little bit and moving over the our receiving help currently from the Extra Mile Foundation, who has been so very generous with schools in the city of Pittsburgh. They'll continue to help with tuition and scholarship support, tuition assistance, scholarship support. And then Miraculous Metal Foundation will take over the operations to ensure that the school gets to be there well into the future.
So what will be different between what's going to happen at St. Cyril of Alexandria Academy as compared to Northside Assumption?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the Miraculous Metal Foundation, they operate through a slightly different curricular model. They have a classical curriculum, which essentially means that it's the curricular style is based more historically. It follows a historical Western civilization development through the lens of the Catholic Church, which is slightly different from what the diocese offers in a more traditional Catholic education.
And is this going to be open for the next school year?
Correct. So Northside Catholic Assumption Academy will go through this current school year and the current model that they have. And then in the summertime, we'll do a transition over to the new academy, and that will start officially in September of 2026.
And how many students will you be able to accommodate?
Oh, that's a great question. They are currently surveying the building to see what the full capacity is with the model that they use. And so in that model, you might have slightly smaller classrooms in terms of the number of students in there. It relies heavily on more of a Socratic style of teaching, which is more discussion-based, relies a lot on reading the response, and conversation. And so a smaller classroom style tends to fit that. So, but that's a good question. If you ever get a chance to ask them that, they would probably know before I would.
And about the students who are right now at Northside Assumption Catholic Academy, are they going to just transition automatically? Do they have to start all over again, enroll? How's that going to work?
So in all of our schools, we do a re-enrollment process. So not everybody necessarily feels like they have to go to the same school the next year. We believe that the parents are primary educators of their children. And so every year they should assess if they're in the space that best fits their families and their children's needs. And so all of them will have the opportunity to go to the new school. They are certainly not required to attend the new school. We have other schools in the area that might be of interest if they don't necessarily, if they like the diocesan curriculum and feel like their children are doing well in that versus going over to a different style of curriculum. But certainly they're all invited. If they all stay, that would be amazing. If some of them don't believe that that serves their family's needs, then they might choose someplace else. There might be other people in the area that like a more classical style curriculum, and they would pull potentially students that families that like that style. And so we're going to see what happens. But definitely looking at this as a really positive opportunity to continue Catholic education on the north side and ensure that it stays there.
Lauren Martin, Superintendent of Catholic Schools, appreciate the time this morning. Good luck and thank you.
Thanks so much.
You got it. All right, Paul, we've had so much to talk about, busy news, you know, serious conversations, but this sidebar story about Major League Baseball,
oh boy,
has caught the attention. Check this out, and you may have missed this. Just happened in the last couple of days. CBS's Michael George.
Major League Baseball is putting new limits on legal gambling. The league and sportsbook operators agreed to cap bets on individual pitches at $200 and exclude them from parlays. The move comes after two Cleveland Guardians players were indicted on charges of allegedly rigging pitches. CBS's Scott McFarlane has the latest on the case.
Mr. Ortiz, any comment at all?
Major League pitcher Luis Ortiz covered his head as he left federal court in Boston. The 26-year-old Dominican pitcher was arrested this weekend at Logan Airport, charged with conspiracy and fraud. Prosecutors allege this pitch he threw in June in a game against St. Louis was part of a scheme with some gamblers who, in a suspicious series of wagers, bet heavily that Ortiz's pitch would be outside the strike zone. His attorney tells CBS News Ortiz is innocent. Ortiz's teammate, Emmanuel Clase, is also charged in the case, accused of sabotaging some of his own pitches and tipping and texting with gamblers about it in advance. Clase is not yet in custody, nor has he made a statement. The same prosecutors brought a similar case last month, charging an NBA player with scheming with gamblers on so-called prop bets, in which gamblers wager on individual plays, not games. The American Gaming Association's Joe Maloney says betting companies have built safeguards to detect this type of alleged fraud.
Leagues, regulators, and integrity monitors have visibility into all of the volume of betting that's happening on a given sport.
They see a suspicious surge.
They see everything. They see the volume of bets, what's happening, what's popular, what isn't.
As the cases unfold, some states, including Maryland and Ohio, home to the Cleveland Guardians, are considering new restrictions on these sports prop bets. Scott McFarlane, CBS News, Washington.
And then I want to point out that Ortiz pitched for Pittsburgh for two seasons recently.
And who knows where it goes from here. Some people suggesting this is just the tip of the iceberg.
I suspect that they're...
Listen for The Drive at 5, stories driving the day's news, weekday afternoons at 5, brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van. And every Tuesday at this time, we check in with Lynn Hayes Freeland, live from Atlanta, Georgia, on this Veterans Day. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Larry?
Good. Anyone you want to recognize on Veterans Day?
Absolutely. I was all set, ready for this. Actually, two people. Let me first just say that my son-in-law is in the reserves, and he is a major in the reserves. So I tip my hat to him. He is still involved in active duty in the reserves. And then my dad. My dad was a veteran of World War II. And interestingly enough, and I heard you mention your dad at a young age, my father was also young. In fact, he left high school. He was a student at Westinghouse High School. He left. He kind of similarly lied about his age, went to the Army. And he always told an interesting story because so many people know of the Tuskegee Airmen. And I'm sure you are familiar with the Tuskegee Airmen. Well, my dad was actually tested to belong, to become, be recruited by the airmen. And he met the IQ scores. He met the test scores, but he didn't make the cut because he was colorblind. Something else you can probably relate to.
Yes, I can.
So he always had a big regret that he wasn't able to join such a prestigious group of men because he was colorblind.
Yeah, that's actually an incredible story. I know that in this town, Lynn, per capita, we have a very high number of our veteran communities. So days like this are very important to many people.
They really are. And I also think it's sad, Larry, that in 2025, some people have to be reminded of the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day, because they are two very distinctively different days with different focuses. But I noticed on a lot of social media, people have twisted them, and they're just not. I mean, Veterans Day is about those veterans who are living or who have served, and then Memorial Day is for those who are deceased.
Yes, and there is a big difference. So it's not Happy Memorial Day, but you can certainly say Happy Veterans Day. And the most important part is just the recognition for the men and women who serve, but also their families who sacrifice along with them through deployments, traveling, maybe stations to stations, and then dealing with the post in many who have served in a combat zone, you know, the PTSD issues. So the families deserve recognition as well.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, my son-in-law was supposed to be deployed a couple of weeks ago, but after the shutdown, everything was put on hold. And there is a domino effect. I mean, my daughter and her husband have two small children, 1 year old and 3 years old. So when he gets deployed, who has to step in and help? Grandma does. So yes, it does have a domino effect. And I will also point out, and I heard Tamira list so many of the places that are giving out free meals, free hamburgers, free coffees. I am more than confident that my son-in-law is going to hit as many of those today as physically possible.
All right. That said, it looks like by tomorrow afternoon, we could see the official end of the what will be then 43-day. No, wait. I'm losing track. How many days in are we for the shutdown?
Yeah.
Yesterday was
no, that's about right.
41st.
Yesterday was 41, correct? Oh, yeah.
So today's 42, 43, the longest shutdown in history, should officially end tomorrow, barring any unforeseen changes, and then it's going to take some time to unwind the damage.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's critical information because when you look at, and I'll just use the SNAP pipeline as an example, and of course, SNAP is kind of a new term for food stamps. So it involves that little EBT card you use it at the grocery store. But it's going to take some time for that money to start flowing again to get into the pipeline. And we are very close to the Thanksgiving holiday. So for a lot of those individuals, that money may or may not appear before the holidays. And so I think that the pressure on our food banks, and so many churches have stepped up for food giveaways, but I think that demand is going to continue probably through the end of the month.
I would imagine, yes. And the Supreme Court's involved with that whole process. And look at the travel issues that there have been created, and we are only at 4% initially, going to 6% today. The airlines having to cut back their number of scheduled flights, and it's going to go to 10%, I think, before it unwinds the other way. So it's not a switch that you can just flip to end this shutdown. It's going to take some time, but it does look like there is some light at the end of the tunnel, Lynn.
It does, although I do know some folks who had planned on travel for the Thanksgiving holiday that have decided now to drive. They just don't want to deal with it because this will be a ripple effect. You can't cancel 1,000 flights a day or 600 flights a day, whatever the numbers are, for multiple days and then expect a system to get back in order. I mean, they've got to reroute planes. There's a whole process involved with that.
All right, Lynn, stick around. You got time. We'll talk about some other issues pending.
Absolutely. I want to talk about Catholic schools.
Lynn Hayes Freeland. More to come right after the news with Paul Rasmussen. 10 until 2, Marty Griffin takes the air chair. Meanwhile, back to Lynn Hayes Freeland. Lynn, you wanted to talk about schools. Lynn. Why can't I hear Lynn? Did we lose Lynn? In the meantime, we'll check back with Lynn.
Yeah, you know why you couldn't hear me, Larry?
You muted me.
That's right.
I'm sure that happens
That's
frequently.
Exactly right.
Thank you. All right, you wanted to talk about schools.
Well, I did. I wanted to talk about this new Catholic school on the north side. And here's why I find it so exciting. Most people, or a lot of people, don't realize that I am a product of a Catholic school education. Although I am not Catholic, I did attend Sacred Heart Grade School, St. Paul's Cathedral High School, and Duquesne University. So I am probably more invested than most in a Catholic education. And I understand the value of it. It certainly is not for everyone, but there were certain things that my mother identified as when I was in elementary school that I needed, and there was a discipline that I needed, and she was right on point with that. Who knows what would have happened had she not made that shift, but I find the new school very exciting, and I just wanted to weigh in on that because so often, you know, different schools get bad raps, but, you know, I learned a lot from the nuns that educated me throughout that journey.
Yeah, I also went to Catholic grade school, and I found, you know, a lot of value to that. So from many different, and then transitioned to public school at North Allegheny, and thought I was well prepared as you move into the higher grades beyond sixth grade to middle school.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, both of my kids went through Pittsburgh public schools, and I was always happy with the education that they got. I certainly can't speak to what may have happened since then, but certainly they got a great education when they were there. The other thing I wanted to point out today, Larry, has nothing to do with schools, but there was I'm going to call it a celebration yesterday for a man by the name of Pete Hill, who played with the Negro Leagues back in the 1800s. I wasn't familiar with Mr. Hill, but as I heard about the renaming a street in Homewood for him, I was very excited because he's one of those people that in history that a lot of us don't know about. So congratulations to the descendants of Pete Hill and to Councilman Kahari Mosley for pushing the renaming of the street.
And what else? I know you're a news hound by nature. Is top of mind for you?
You know what? Probably this shutdown, Larry. We kind of touched on it earlier, but I think that this whole shutdown, beyond people who have not been able to access services or those kind of things, I think it is a reflection of where we are politically in this country. And I think that we all, both sides of the aisle, both parties, need to take heed where these divisions, political divisions, are taking us as a country. And, you know, there used to be a thing, and I don't know who said it, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. I think we're kind of headed in that direction. And I think that not only our elected officials, but constituents as well, need to pay attention to what's happening and the domino effect it's going to have, not just on the year 2025, but 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, going forward, because we are doing things now that if we want to reverse them, it's going to take almost a lifetime to reverse them.
Yeah, they're, you know, I'm curious what the lingering effects of a 43-day government shutdown will be on a lot of different levels. One is just the confidence in our government, regardless of party, just people thinking they never do what they say they're going to do, you know, and the trust factor isn't there.
Absolutely. And just think about it from an individual perspective, and I'll just use a TSA operator as an example. If you've gone this long without pay, you're now in this very tenuous situation. You know, it might be your rent, your mortgage, your food, kids' tuition, any of those things, medical bills. Your life has been disrupted. You may come back to work. You may eventually get your back pay. But what's your attitude like when you come back? Are you going to give 150% to a government that basically abandoned you? I think I'd have a hard time coming to work every day saying, hi, welcome, given what I had been through for the last 41 days.
Absolutely. All right, Lynn, we'll talk again next Tuesday when I will be live from the new Pittsburgh International Airport.
Oh, my goodness, that's so exciting. I wish I could be there with you. But, yes, I'm sure you'll give us a play-by-play, and I'm glad it's a Tuesday, so I'll be on the air with you. Thanks, Larry.
All right. Lynn Hayes Freeland.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.